When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We're going to Detroit for the draft, beginning Thursday. From Detroit's new home for sports, ESPN Bet at Hollywood Casino Greektown. Can't wait to get there. ESPN Bet, grand opening, Hollywood Casino Greektown. We will be there this week, Thursday and Friday. Also, I have a major update, and it's on some unfortunate news, CC, for you and I specifically.
Oh.
Not the greatest of news I'm going to share with everybody. We were gifted ginger sauce from a hibachi restaurant. CeCe and I both downed it immediately. Smalls was in St. Louis last week. She was gifted one as well from somebody here, Mike, at our station here. And we were hoping that Smalls would not like it.
Yes.
Because we wanted the leftovers. Fortunately, per sources close to me last night, I got notification. She loved it. We're screwed.
You liked it?
Couldn't stop eating it.
It's amazing, right?
Went out and got vegetables to put it on and wished I had more vegetables.
It was amazing, right? It actually does make you want to eat vegetables.
It is so good.
Well, that's not going
that far. That sauce, it's different than the traditional ginger sauce that you get at the hibachi restaurant. It's not necessarily the ginger sauce that's on the salad. There's something else in there. There's another ingredient in there that takes this from an A to an A+.
It's a slash. It's like Cordell. It's the Cordell Stewart of sauces.
It's a slash.
It really is. It's Cordell Stewart. That's how I would compare this. Because it's not fully a quarterback and not fully a wide receiver. But you could play it at quarterback and it's going to succeed. Or play it at wide receiver and it's going to succeed. It's a combo package between the dipping sauce for the protein slash rice.
Yeah.
And the salad sauce.
It's called it's awesome. Kamikaze sauce.
Is that? Oh, there's a name?
I looked at the label because I was going to Google it and see where I could get some more. It's called Kamikaze sauce.
Can you make it at home?
Probably.
I don't believe you can. I believe it's one of those.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think you can
I've
make
I've never had a homemade version home. Of that.
Oh,
no
I
way.
Make homemade dressings all the time.
But it's not going to taste like that.
You have to put it in a food processor.
And say, don't try this at home.
Yes, I agree.
It's that good.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
I wish I had two bottles.
We're not going to give name shout outs to brands here, but everyone can think of the special sauces at different restaurants, chains, whatever. I don't believe you can make it at home the same way that they make it. You just can't.
Because the secret ingredient is love. You can absolutely make it at home, and you might be able to make it better at home.
I don't think so.
No chance. Whatever
it
secrets.
Says what the ingredients are on the bottle.
I don't know that you can improve on it, though. It's that damn good.
But don't even
think about,
it just
think about
that
how good
one.
It is. And
it's so good.
You think you can actually do better? You can make it better than what it already is?
Then do it.
No okay. shot.
I'll try it.
Listen, if you can make that sauce better than the one that we actually had, you need to quit working here and mass produce it. Because you will make a lot more money selling that sauce than you would selling your takes. I'm telling you.
You want to invest?
Selling your takes.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Okay, what?
Me and you could go into business together.
We will do
and
that.
And I'll eat it.
Evan's got to find two new co-hosts. Me and you in business together.
We're billion-dollar babies.
There you
sitting
go.
Here.
There you go. If you can make that sauce better than the one that Killer Mike brought us.
No chance.
Then there's no shot that we need to keep working here.
One thing you don't know about me, when someone tells me I can't do something, I'm going to do it. So
it's
now I'm dedicating
you,
my life to
this. It's not about
this.
You. It's about the concept of a secret sauce at any restaurant, any chain.
Well, it's not a secret. I have it.
No, but I'm just
saying. I have the ingredient list.
I know, but in general, when you have that secret sauce at a restaurant and you try to make it at home, it never tastes as good. It just doesn't.
That's true, it doesn't.
See, I disagree because I think that homemade dressings are always better than the bottles or the things you get at a restaurant. They're always better. Homemade dressings, chef's kiss.
Evan, when's the last time you actually cooked something where you tried to make a homemade sauce for it?
All the time. Because what I do... Yeah, no, I'm serious. Specific to the sauce. Because I love cold noodles with sesame sauce.
You're the saucier?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the what?
The saucier?
Sure, yeah.
You make the sauces?
Right,
the saucier?
So... I try to take different versions of peanut butter, of soy sauce, of like any kind of Asian dressing, and I try to make it taste like the restaurant with the cold noodles with sesame sauce. I fail every single time, but I do try to do that a lot. I love that kind of sauce.
I feel like we got to get him a t-shirt that says saucier.
100%. Well,
all right.
Saucier.
So I'll be the chef. I guess I'm the saucier too if I'm making the sauce.
Well, let's make the sauce. Let's see how good you can make sauce.
When I get back in town, what is this, 2 weeks from now? Because we're going to Detroit and then I'm going to St. Louis. I am on sauce. I will make the sauce.
You're on the sauce?
So what do you think?
You're not on the sauce.
No, I'm not on the sauce, no. But I'm on the sauce experiment. Yeah. No, that still doesn't play.
If you are, we love you, but can you remove yourself? Because that wouldn't be good for everybody here if you're hammered doing this show right now.
You know what?
Small is hammered.
It might be my last show, but I'll tell you what, it'd be a good one.
Small just reported she's drunk right now. This is great. This is wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
Hold on. Who do you think has a better chance of actually getting it done? The Lakers coming back against the Nuggets? The Sixers coming back against the Knicks, or me perfecting the sauce?
The Sixers.
You perfecting the sauce. You have a better chance. No, she has a better chance of perfecting the sauce than either one of those teams down 0-2 have of coming back.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah.
No way.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
No.
Not really. I just think there's even less of a chance for the Lakers or the Sixers. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Pat, as somebody that prides himself in some of the stuff that you make at home in your kitchen as a chef, do you believe any special secret sauce at any restaurant across the country or any of the chain restaurants that we're all thinking of right now can be made at home
very,
taste as good?
Very easily, yes.
Oh yes, thank you, Pat.
So simply, yes.
Thank you, Pat. It's insanely easy.
No
crazy
way.
Crazy easy to do.
No way. I don't buy it.
We'll find out.
We'll find out from Smalls. All right, there were three NBA games last night. Kudos to the Cleveland Cavaliers. This is a compliment. When you have silence around your game, it is a compliment because the Cleveland Cavaliers are giving us no drama whatsoever. All of the Donovan Mitchell talk about the offseason, that is postponed now because he's been unbelievable in this series. Jared Allen was great last night. They're up 2-0 on the Orlando Magic. Kudos to the Cavaliers. No drama whatsoever and can get ready for the Boston Celtics most likely if the Celtics get past the Miami Heat. Now, in the early game last night on TNT and ESPN Radio, the Knicks went up 2-0 with a 104-101 win over Philly. But the end of this game, guys, was absolutely wild. Kyle Lowry hit one of two free throws for Philly. They go up 5 points with 27 seconds to go. The Knicks then score 8 points over the final 27 seconds, including a Jalen Brunson three that did not want to go in. It goes off the rim and ultimately goes in. A Tyrese Maxey turnover on an inbound where they were trying to call a timeout, at least they say they were, and to no avail there. Dante DiVincenzo misses a three. Offensive rebound by Isaiah Hartenstein. Great pass back out by OG Anunoby. Drained three by DiVincenzo. And then a block by Hartenstein on Tyrese Maxey layup. Two free throws by OG. Embiid missed three. The Knicks miraculously 104-101. They win last night. And in the second game, Denver comes back from 20 points down. A 101-99 win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Jamal Murray with a game-winning jumper over AD. A blown 20-point lead in a wild night last night in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting as a Lakers fan to have a 20-point lead in the third quarter and not find a way to finish that game, right? I mean, when LeBron James pulls up for three wide open with less than 30 seconds left, you're thinking, okay, this is an opportunity for the dagger. The ball rims out. And then you just knew Jamal Murray, who had, gone 3-16 from the field through the first three quarters, you knew based on how he was cooking in the fourth quarter, he was going to find a way to win it. And he talked about it post-game, how his teammates kept telling him to shoot the ball, how Jokic kept looking for him and encouraging him to shoot the ball. And he repaid that trust in kind by being able to make that big-time shot. That is a huge, huge play by Jamal Murray. And you know what? I'm going to keep saying this because it's worth noting. We could be watching a guy that is starting to change the trajectory of his career. Right now, Jamal Murray is just a really, really good player. But remember, he hadn't made an All-Star team. We could be talking about this guy after this postseason being on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Mm. That's how good Jamal Murray is, especially this time of year.
Being up 20 and losing the game, as you said, was disgusting from a Lakers fan's perspective. But you know what is even more disgusting is trailing by five with 30 seconds left, the Knicks trailing by five with 30 seconds left, letting them go on an 8-0 run to ultimately win the game. They had a 4% chance to win the game. You thought that they were buried. And you let them kick that coffin open and come back and win the game. While it's certainly never a good feeling when you're up by 20 and you ultimately lose the game to feel like you had them. You had that win and you let the Knicks come back. If you're the 76ers, I think that loss is way worse.
It's horrible. Don't get me wrong. It is a horrible, horrible loss. And in typical Sixers / Rockets, Morey style, Daryl Morey, the president of the team style, they're complaining. They're filing a grievance. It's what always happens, unfortunately. I mean, done about CeCe, we laughed. If they put an audit to a game. They had a separate company, I believe, audit a game with the Rockets against the Warriors.
And now show.
It's ridiculous. And then, by the way, even the Lakers, you know? Like complaining about the officiating. We understand what this is. This is to try to get in the minds of the league for game three to look at things that maybe they weren't looking at previously.
You know what the Lakers should look at? Hey, maybe we shouldn't double team Jokic as much because you now let him facilitate the other guys getting going. How about do that?
And you have Anthony Davis who's supposed to be able to guard.
Took one shot in the fourth quarter. AD took one shot, no points in the fourth quarter. He was your leading scorer. Get him the damn basketball. See, that's the thing. They use the officials as the scapegoats, and really these come down to poor execution in the critical moments and coaches not putting their players in position to have success. Like, what world does it make sense for AD to only have one shot in the fourth quarter? It doesn't make sense. Like, listen, Jamal Murray, all the other guys for the Denver Nuggets, they were struggling to shoot the basketball last night. It wasn't a great shooting night for them. Why would you give them open looks by double-teaming Jokic and pretending like Jokic can't get on the ball? It's the best passing big man in the history of the NBA. What the hell are you doing? Like, those are things that you cannot excuse. So, I mean, for all of the complaining about the refs, I just feel like that's a catch-all for some of the bigger issues that they don't want to address. And that lack of accountability is what's ultimately going to be the undoing for both the Sixers and the Lakers.
Couldn't agree more. It's a defeatist mentality. Instead of pointing the fingers at the refs, why don't you point your thumb back at yourself and do it 20 times because you had a 20-point lead if you're the Lakers. Joel Embiid, after the game, is saying, we're the better team. We're going to come back and win this. But he's saying it, as you mentioned, CeCe, with his head down, where the body language tells me everything I need to know. And if you're those two teams and you really think that you can come back, if you're the Sixers and the Lakers, instead of complaining about the officiating, you need to come out and say, we're going to be better. There's no excuses on either side for what happened. You both were in a position to win and you both let the opposition come back. You need to take accountability and stop pointing the finger at the referees.
Reese Davis, host of College Game Day, part of the draft coverage. We are just a couple of days away from the NFL draft. We will be there in Detroit, brought to us by True Green. We will talk to Reese Davis next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Just a few days away. Thursday. The draft begins. ABC, ESPN, here on ESPN Radio from Detroit. We are all going to Detroit tomorrow, right? We're going to Detroit tomorrow.
The D.
I just forgot when we were actually leaving for Detroit. All on different flights, which makes absolutely no sense, but that is what we're doing. Actually, there's four people in our studio, including Rob, our social and digital guy, and somehow we're all going on different flights.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
I feel like Rob is going to need some extra prayer, though, with the airline that he chose to fly on.
I agree. T's and P's to Rob.
Yeah. I hope he makes it there in time.
You can't bring him on the PJ?
Huh?
What? All right. Reese Davis is the host of College Game Day, and he will be part of the draft coverage on ABC, and he is kind enough to join us now here on Unsportsmanlike. Before we dive into the draft, can we just talk about Game Day and the amazing environment and atmosphere that you are a part of every single week, Reese. The environment that you have said to friends and family, this gets so rowdy, I know you want to come to the show, you can't come to this location.
I would say I would never do that. But the surprising one is Oregon at 6 a.m. Ooh. Now, you would think that might be a little, you know, a little low key, because even if some of the participants stayed up through the night rather than getting up early, they might be a little fatigued. They bring it. And I would say that Washington this past year also 6 a.m. local time was outstanding. But my son actually came to Washington, so I was willing to let family come. But I do want to say one of the secrets to game day is the complete opposite of what you guys do with your old, I think it was the Red Sox, 25 players, 25 cabs mentality. All of us travel to game day each week together on the bus.
Yeah, we don't. We're not there
not
yet.
Really.
Not so much.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk draft here. You're going to be a part of the coverage, obviously, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Nick Saban is going to be a part of the broadcast crew as well. He knows a couple of things about football. Reese, as you see it from watching these guys in college as closely as you do, we know that Caleb's going one. Where would you go, or where do you think they should go 2 and 3 in terms of Daniels and May based on what you saw from them in college?
Well, okay. I'm going to try not to straddle the fence here, because whenever you do this, it makes it sound as if you're putting a guy down. I think this is a win-win proposition for Jaden Daniels and Drake May. But I have, for a couple of years, been on the Drake May bandwagon. I would consider taking Drake May one. I know they're not going to. And I think a lot of this, I've jokingly said to my buddy Pete Thamel that I have tired of the Drake May blasphemy over the, you know, over the last several weeks. I think people are going to go wherever he winds up, most likely 3, I think. But wherever he goes, people are going to say, oh, wow, I guess he is good. You know, I think he's going to be a sensational pro. Are there things to clean up? Well, of course. But that's true with Caleb, and it's true with Jaden. I do think that all three of these guys, there are always some extenuating circumstances, some uncertainties when guys go into the NFL. How are the people around them? Can they elevate that? Do they have the right system in place? Do the coaches get the most out of them? Do the coaches, you know, not do as good a job with them as we've seen with some young quarterbacks? Do they get frustrated and bail on them early? So there are certainly caveats to be offered. But I actually think all three of them are going to be excellent. You know, the leap that Jaden Daniels took from his first season at LSU to this most recent one to win the Heisman. And really, I remember watching him as a true freshman at Arizona State lead a drive to beat Michigan State at the end of the game. So he's got that it factor. I don't think you can go wrong. I just want to kind of stick to my guns and say that I've been a Drake May guy for quite some time, and I think anywhere 1 to 3, he would thrive.
Reese, quarterbacks are going to be the overarching theme in this year's draft, but another storyline that people are going to be following is father-son duos, right? Players coming out in this year's class that have NFL bloodlines, just to name a few: Luke McCaffrey, son of Ed McCaffrey, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Chris Jenkins Jr., Brendan Rice, son of Jerry Rice, Joe Alt, son of John Alt, I mean, Frank Gore Jr. So, I mean, of those players, who's the one that you're most looking forward to seeing at the next level?
I mean, the easy answer is Marvin Harrison Jr., because he's a smoother receiver, you know, as we've seen in recent years. He's right there with, you know, at least in the same realm with Devontae Smith. And I've said that at least in my lifetime and career, I think the two greatest college seasons I've ever seen from a receiver are Larry Fitzgerald at Pittsburgh and Devontae Smith at Alabama. And I think that Marvin's ability, not finished product, but his ability is on par with those guys. So I would say it would be him. And then certainly I'm excited about Joe Alt too, because we don't want to make this all skill position. I think, you know, he had a great career at Notre Dame, and it's going to be one of those cornerstone guys that you can put on your offensive line and trust him for a really, really long time.
Reese, let's go back to the quarterbacks for a second. Excuse me. A guy that you certainly talked about a lot on College Game Day this season is J.J. McCarthy, quarterback of Michigan, who ultimately won the national championship game. It feels like there's a lot of disparity when it comes to where people are thinking that J.J. McCarthy could go in this draft. How high do you think he could possibly go?
Well, how high I think he could go, I think he could go 4 or 5, depending on traits. I think that J.J. is a guy who became a tremendous leader, got a lot of skills, and look, the next guy I draft would be the first. But I would be more comfortable if I were sitting in that room, if I were able to get him in that, you know, 10 to 15 range, I think. Now, he might turn out to be the best of all of them. He certainly got the skill set, but I think that, I think there's a little bit more there in terms of development, not quite, maybe might need a little more time to adapt to the NFL game. But, you know, look, I mean, people have talked about it a lot. Whoever winds up going to Minnesota, for instance, is, you know, really set up for success. They've got a lot of people around them to help. So, and that's not the only place. I'm just using it as an example because a lot of the mock drafts have been moving up. But I think McCarthy is a tremendous prospect. I think there's still some more development there in terms of the way the NFL game is now, and you guys know this better than I, so quarterback reliant. And there were times at Michigan where JJ was a facilitator and a very good one, but they weren't always just reliant on him. The NFL, it's a little bit harder to play that way. I think JJ's capable of being the guy on whom you rely, but I we haven't seen that from him as much as you might have from the guys that I deem to be at the top three.
We're talking with Reese Davis, of course, College Game Day. He's going to be part of the draft coverage, ABC, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's talk about the quarterback you faced in the national championship game. How high should Michael Penix Jr. go in your mind?
Probably mid to late first round, depending on needs. Now, the one thing about him is he's so accurate. He's such a gifted, natural thrower that, you know, you put him in the right spot, and that might look like a stroke of genius as well. And I know I'm just throwing flowers at all of these guys, but, you know, like Nick Saban has said, teams are looking for reasons not to draft you, and I guess for the purposes of our conversation, I'm being more positive about the good things that could happen. You know, I think that Penix is a guy, I'm not too worried about the injury history, simply because he's played for a couple of years since the knee and the shoulder problems that he suffered primarily at Indiana. So I'm not as concerned about that. But, you know, I do think he's a guy that in the right system, right fit, because he's such a gifted and accurate thrower. You know, he understands offense, understands where to go with the ball, and just has that uncanny ability to put it precisely where it needs to be more often than not. And that's a valuable skill in the NFL.
Reese, every year around draft coverage, you get to know a little bit about the personal side of these athletes, the background, and some of these stories. I mean, the Williams brothers, Quinnen and Quincy, you just hear about their resilience and their upbringing and how they were able to lean on one another. I'm just curious, who are the draft prospects, or what draft prospect story have you fallen in love with while doing your research and preparing for the coverage this weekend?
You know, there have been so many, because that's a big focus that we have on our ABC coverage. And certainly we do the team needs and what the player brings to the field, but we delve pretty deeply into the personal aspects and the path that these guys have followed to get there. And I would say Adisa Isaac, who is an edge rusher from Penn State, has three siblings who have disabilities. They're nonverbal. And the story of that family unit and the care and compassion and his mom's dedication to them and what this means to him as, you know, as a leader in his family has been one that is that's really, really compelling. And I look forward, when he hears his name called, to people at home being able to see the vignette that we've put together on him, which, you know, there are a lot of great ones, but that was one that was particularly inspiring and moving, I thought.
Looking forward to that one. That sounds like an amazing story. Obviously not as important. We'll finish with this, Reese, in terms of the non, like, real life stuff, the football stuff, very quickly. And I'm being serious when I ask this. if Arch Manning was eligible to be drafted this year, would he be a first-round pick? Would a team take – he's thrown five passes at Texas. Would a team take, in essence, a futures contract with Arch Manning in the first round this year?
No. No, I think they will someday. I really do. I think Arch is going to be great. But I don't think you could do it this year. If he were to roll out there Thursday night in Detroit, Arch is a gifted guy and a great young man, and I have a tremendous affinity. In fact, it shows how old I am, guys. His grandfather is my all-time favorite athlete. He was my favorite athlete growing up. So I've got a particular soft spot for the entire Manning family and Arch particularly. But if he were to come this year, just given the body of work at Texas, he might be sitting around for a while. But I suspect that when his draft year comes, that he will hear his name called rather quickly.
All right, just throwing it out there. I mean, the big spring, you know what happens? A big spring game at Texas, all hell breaks loose. So why not ask Reese Davis about it?
I know. He's going to be great. He's going to be great. Everybody just, you know, let him be a young college player. Let him develop. He's going to be sensational, and his time's going to come.
Reese, thank you so much for the time. We'll see you on ABC Thursday
and
Friday.
See you later.
All right, there's Reese Davis, College Game Day, ABC Draft coverage Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Coming up, Mock Draft 4.0 from one Chris Canty, next on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Countdown to the NFL Draft.
Most fascinating draft in NFL history coming up.
This is Chris Canty's NFL Mock Draft 4.0.
Yes, we mocking today. It's Tuesday. We usually like to rank stuff, but since this is NFL Draft Week, we have to release Canty Mock Draft 4.0, the final mock draft before the first round of the NFL Draft kicks off. So without further ado, in my first round mock, I've got six trades.
Ooh.
And I have five quarterbacks going. Now, you got to wait to see where they're going to end up. But we already know where one is going. Caleb Williams on his top 30 visit with the Chicago Bears. He didn't meet with the front office or the coaches and go out to dinner. The organization actually told the team leaders, TJ Edwards, amongst other captains on that team, to take Caleb Williams out to dinner. That just goes to show you they're already ready. They don't get on the clock officially until Thursday, but they might as well turn in the card already. Caleb Williams will be the number one overall pick. Keeping this thing pushing, despite all of the noise off of this weekend and Jaden Daniels having a preference to play elsewhere, he ends up acquiescing when the Washington Commanders turn in the card. Jaden Daniels will be going to the district to play quarterback. The Commanders take him with the second overall pick. Number three is going to be Drake May. The third quarterback taken, it won't be the New England Patriots because we are projecting a trade, the Minnesota Vikings up from 11 to number 3 to take Drake May. I talked to an NFL front office executive last night, and he said that Drake May is the guy that the Minnesota Vikings are absolutely targeting. They didn't trade up all that draft capital and do the dance with the Houston Texans in order to get the fourth best quarterback off the board. They are going to try to move heaven and earth in order to get the third best quarterback in this class, the last elite quarterback prospect as far as I'm concerned. All right, skipping down. Number 5, I've got Malik Nabers, the second wide receiver coming off the board, but it's not the LA Chargers drafting him. I'm projecting another trade, the New York Jets, up from number 10 to number 5 to take a wide receiver. Listen, I think there are levels to this thing. MHJ is clearly the best receiver in this class, but Malik Nabers is the most explosive. And if you're the New York Jets, you've burned the boats. You're going all in. We saw the move yesterday to move on from Zach Wilson. They are telling you that there is no tomorrow. There is no future. Draft picks in 2025, be damned. This is all about this year and trying to win a Super Bowl. I don't know that there's a team that's more Super Bowl or bust than the New York Jets in 2024. They're going to get Malik Nabers at number 5 to help the cause. Okay, now skipping down, the Atlanta Falcons have the 8th overall pick, but I am projecting another trade. The New England Patriots moving up from 11 to number 8 to take quarterback J.J. McCarthy. This is around the range where I think McCarthy goes. There are going to be other teams that are vying to move up. We know the Raiders are in the quarterback market. We know the Broncos are in the quarterback market. The Saints are sneaky in the quarterback market. But I think the New England Patriots get their heir apparent. They get the future that they're going to build around. J.J. McCarthy will have a chance to sit behind Jacoby Brissett. And for New England's trouble, they're going to pick up an additional 2 first-round draft picks, one at 23 in this year's class and then another one in 2025 because they slid down. So I like the move for the New England Patriots getting J.J. McCarthy with the 8th overall pick. Now, the next trade that I have that's going to happen, the Denver Broncos, they're supposed to be at number 12, but their quarterback is not there. It's too rich for Michael Penix. It's too rich for Bo Nix. So what do the Denver Broncos do? They're getting out of there, baby. Who's coming up? The Philadelphia Eagles with the 22nd overall pick. They're moving up to number 12 to draft friend of the show, Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. This is a guy that's going to address a huge need for the Eagles. Their secondary is suspect, to say the least. They've gotten old and slow in a hurry. Darius Slay, James Bradbury, their 2 starting corners, are both in their 30s. They've got to have an infusion of young talent, especially at the quarterback spot. And Terrion Arnold is as smooth as they come. I mean, I think Quinyon Mitchell, the corner out of Toledo, is more explosive, but Terrion Arnold is more plug-and-play. He is going to fix a lot of the woes that that Eagles defense experienced on the back end last year. So, now that we've got that out of the way, feels like it's time for another quarterback. And we're going to see that guy come off the board at number 21. Now, the Miami Dolphins hold that selection, but they're trading out. The Miami Dolphins are getting out. The Las Vegas Raiders are coming back in. The Raiders are up from 44 to 21 to draft Michael Penix Jr. They're going to have to give up a future first-round pick in order to make that huge move, but they've got to get a quarterback to keep pace with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West, and Michael Penix Jr. fits the bill. Listen, there are a lot of quarterbacks that can spit it in this class. I don't think any quarterback can spit it better than Michael Penix Jr. There might be some guys that are on the same level, but nobody is head and shoulders better in terms of thrower of the football in this class than Michael Penix Jr. Of course, you're going to be scared off by the multiple season-ending injuries that he had in college, but that doesn't stop Michael Penix Jr. from being a first-round draft pick. Remember, this is a guy that ran a sub-4.6 40-yard dash in his pro day. He's got some wheels. He's got some athleticism. Got to get better at the second reaction off-script plays, his footwork, being able to reset within the pocket, being able to throw the ball off platform out of the pocket. Those are things that he has to improve on. But with Gardner Minshew there to start the season, there's no rush to get Michael Penix Jr. in the starting lineup. So we have that trade. And then, of course, the Denver Broncos, who are at 22. Remember, they traded back with the Philadelphia Eagles. Not so fast. The Denver Broncos are getting out of the first round. They're trading out. Well, who's coming in? The Washington Commanders to draft offensive tackle Amarius Mims from Georgia. Listen, if you're going to buy the house, which is the quarterback in the NFL, you got to get the homeowner's insurance, and that's the tackle to protect him. And that's what Amarius Mims projects to do for the Washington Commanders. That offensive line is Swiss cheese. They've tried to upgrade it by adding a couple of pieces. Nick Allegretti added Tyler Biadasz. But they've got to get some guys to fortify the edge of the pocket for their new quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who is slight to say the least. So the Washington Commanders use some of their draft capital. Remember, six total draft picks in the top 100 to move back up. Yeah. So they've got the 36th overall pick. They're moving up from 36 to 22. And the Miami Dolphins slide back. They get their offensive tackle. So Smalls, those are all of the trades that I have in the first round. Those are where the quarterbacks are going. Any objections, any omissions?
Love the draft. Hope that it plays out this way because we'll have a lot of action and a lot of stuff for us to digest the next day. I do have one question for you. So you have the Bears staying put at 9, but you have them taking Dallas Turner. Why do you have them going with an edge guy as opposed to a receiver with that pick?
Well, I think we saw that defense turn a corner when they traded for Montez Sweat last year. And as one general manager used to say from the New York Giants famously, you can never have enough pass rushers. You can never have enough. They need another edge pass rusher. They fortified the interior of their defensive line last year in the draft with the second and third round pick. They need to add more pass rushers, somebody that's opposite of Montez Sweat, so they can't always slide the protection toward that guy. Dallas Turner will do that. In terms of putting your hand in the dirt and going to get the quarterback, Dallas Turner does that better than any defensive lineman in this class.
America's analyst, Tim Legler, is here. He will join us to talk about a wild night in the NBA next. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. No topic is off limits.
I'm going to have on pink pants, suspenders, little bow tie, some bunny ears.
No breakdown can be questioned.
What's the big deal? No, this is a big deal.
He is America's analyst.
Let's see, kid. Let's see. Good luck.
Tim Legler.
Tim Legler is laughing from Tim Legler right now. You find yourself to
be
funny.
Well, because the last part of that, what's up, kid? But let's see. Like, I don't, that could be so many different references that I'm thinking about. Was I talking to some kid at my camp when I was telling that story? Was that trick or treaters? Like, I don't know what was going on with that. I don't remember saying that, but you caught it. That's great. I love it.
Tim Legler, America's analyst, yeah, ESPN man. NBA analyst, who finds Tim Legler very funny. Worst loss last night, Sixers or Lakers?
Sixers.
Thank you.
You know that's why? It? You're just going to stop there?
Yeah. No. It's the Sixers because the Sixers actually have a genuine chance to win that series. The Lakers aren't beating the Nuggets.
No.
So, yeah, that's devastating, and that would make that series a lot more interesting if that were 1-1 going to L.A. Yeah, I mean, you really feel like the Lakers are in this thing. I never believed that they were going to win the series even if they won the game last night. Feel differently about the Sixers. Like, that genuinely is a series that I feel like could go either way because there are so many components within the series that there's a big fluctuation of how it's going to go night to night. So that series, I think, is still alive even now as we sit here for Philly. I never felt that way about the Lakers. Even if they won the game last night, I don't expect them to win it. That's why that you cannot lose that lead if you're the Sixers. You cannot lose a five-point lead inside of a minute.
So how do the Sixers figure out a way to win four of the next five in that series against the Knicks?
Great question. So here's the problem they have. First of all, Joel Embiid basically is relegated to a guard offensively right now. how are you supposed to win the series when Joel Embiid does not have that balance of dominance in the paint along with his skilled perimeter play? He's a perimeter player now, solely. That is a big problem to overcome. I don't know how you do it because I don't know how that wheel is going to get better in the next 3 days. He'll probably feel fresher, but it was obvious even last night. As the game goes on, it feels worse and worse and worse. And he had no rebounds in the second half. I mean, come on. That shows you how limited he is with his mobility. So I'd love to give you an answer from an X's and O's standpoint. It comes down to if Joel Embiid is not able to be a dominant presence in the paint defensively on the glass and as an offensive weapon, I don't know how you overcome that if you're Philadelphia, because where's it going to come from? Where are you going to make up for that? Is it going to be, you know, Buddy Hield, who looked last night like he looked absolutely terrified to be out there, limited with the defensive pressure? Kelly Oubre didn't show up. Kyle Lowry, you can't ask that of him at this stage of his career. It's two guys offensively for the Sixers, and one of them has like half of his game is taken away from him. I wish I could paint a better picture for Philly. It sounds dire because it is dire because of Embiid's leg.
Yeah, but Tim, last night Embiid's leg wasn't the issue, right? It was the team not executing down the stretch, not boxing out Isaiah Hartenstein, not making your free throws down the stretch when Kyle Lowry could have made it a 6-point game, not taking a timeout on the inbounds, taking a timeout when Tyrese Maxey hits the floor. There were so many opportunities for them to avoid losing that game. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. That had nothing to do with Embiid being hurt last night why they lost that game at the end.
You're 100% right about that. I mean, you break down the last minute of the game. There's, you know, half a dozen things that could have gone differently for Philadelphia and should have gone differently for Philadelphia to win the game. The play with Maxey on the inbounds, obviously that's the play. So people ask, did he get fouled? Absolutely he got fouled. He got held to get the ball in the first place. He got bumped once he caught the ball. Now, having said all of that, you cannot lose your balance and go to the ground in that situation. You've got to stay on your feet at all costs. And if you do go to the ground the way that he did, you can see it clearly. If he just takes the ball while he's on the ground and holds it out to the right side of his body, he could probably have time to get a timeout, or they're going to have to come across his body and probably foul him or force a jump ball. He's like trying to shuffle the ball between someone's legs. The ball is everything in that situation. If you're Tyrese Maxey, you have to hold on to the ball at all costs. Watch, he goes down right here. Like, he's trying to roll it between Josh Hart's legs to a teammate. No, man, you got to hold on to the ball. Make them jump on top of you and force a jump ball or a foul in that situation. But I'm going to say this. Kyle Lowry set all of this in motion by taking the ball out of bounds that quickly. He caught his entire team off guard how quickly he jumped out of bounds of the basketball. Which, listen, sometimes that works, but if you do that, you have to be 100% certain, because peripherally you've already seen it as you're jumping out of bounds, that you can get the ball quickly into somebody. And once he couldn't, I did a count this morning. He's up there beyond four.
Yes.
Okay, you get past 2.5, 3 seconds in that situation, you are calling timeout. You're not worried about Nick Nurse with a lukewarm one of these on the sideline, which is what he was doing.
Yeah, he put it.
He was kind of doing this, and he wasn't screaming it. He wasn't running up to the officials. It's not the officials' job to look at Nick Nurse in that situation. They're watching the action. Nick Nurse has to scream it. Get out. Did you ever see Eric Spoelstra in that situation?
Yes, yes.
He'd be out at the top of the key.
And who do you think he was waiting for? This is the problem. He doesn't realize he's on Philadelphia. You're not on Miami anymore. Not everybody is coached by Spo. Not everybody is as smart as you are, Kyle Lowry, with all your teammates. That's part of the issue. You just said it. Think about who he played for the last 2.5 years.
No, that's possible. Listen, this is a team. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But listen, Kyle Lowry's been around too long, done this too long. He's a guy that's revered because of his toughness and his IQ first. Okay? You could go ahead and jump out of bounds with the ball. I've seen guys do that. You have to be certain. If you're going to do that, that ball's got to come in quick. And as soon as it's not, within a second or two, because watch his teammates. When he jumps out of bounds, they're not prepared for an inbound because they didn't expect him to take it out that quickly. And guess who else didn't expect it? Nick Nurse didn't expect the ball to be in somebody's hands out of bounds that fast. So now you have to react in the moment immediately for Nick Nurse. And it's two ways. You're screaming at the official by the bench and you're looking at him. He's looking at the action doing this. That's not going to get you a timeout. So right here, he needs to run toward the baseline to the official on the baseline, even before that, because that was too late in it. Kyle Lowry had a ball for 3.5 to 4 seconds.
Yeah.
You've got time to run toward the corner because there's an official right there. Guess what? That guy's going to see you. What Nick Nurse did and what he said after, to me, it's a little bit disingenuous. That was a lukewarm attempt at a timeout until the ball became dislodged. Then you really wanted a timeout. Yeah, I guess so. That should have happened before that. Either Lowry or Nurse or somebody prior to the ball getting inbounded has to call that timeout when you see they're not set up to get it in a safe place.
Off of that, Tim, obviously the Sixers complaining about the officiating last night. You had the Lakers doing the same. Do you agree with either one of them?
Well, LeBron's 100% right that that's – I don't know how you don't look at that replay and know that he got hit in the face, D'Angelo Russell. The problem with LeBron is it's an insignificant play in the big picture. Had mm-hmm. nothing to do with the fourth quarter comeback. That those are things on both ends of the floor that affected the Lakers. And I give more credit to the Nuggets for taking this than the Lakers for losing it. Mm-hmm. This is different than the first game. The Nuggets took this game because of their late-game execution, shot-making, and star power, period. But everybody in the world knows that that's a foul. Everybody. So I don't. That's what LeBron's saying. And you know what LeBron's doing? He's making a deposit for future returns. That's mm-hmm. all he's doing, and that he knows that has nothing to do with the outcome of this game. He's trying to set the tone, get it out there. Hopefully, that affects things going forward. The problem, he does have a point about this. If you're going to have replay, and if games are so officiated differently in the playoffs than they are in the regular season, and you see stuff like that, and everybody watching the game can see that that's a foul, and you act like it didn't happen, you got a problem now. Like, people are going to be fired up about this stuff every single game because it doesn't make any sense when we all know that's contact by the letter of the law that is a foul, which is replays are going to pick up almost every time. There's some contact on all of these. That's the problem for replay for officials.
Lex, real quick, which team will have the bigger consequence if they lose in the first round of this playoffs, the Sixers or the Lakers? And what I mean by that is the roster being turned over. Who will face the tougher of the decisions that need to be made this summer if they get bounced in the first round?
Well, I think the Sixers are absolutely – here's the problem. I mean, they have a little bit of an out because of Embiid's leg, but – when you have guys like Buddy Hield play like this, when you have guys like Oubre who are really good in regular season and non-factor last night, you have Kyle Lowry at the end of his career, and that's your starting guard, they've got more things they've got to look at and address for roster turnover than the Lakers do. Lakers probably going to run into the best team, and they're going to lose a competitive series, and they're going to look at their team and say, well, maybe if we could have avoided Denver – you know, in the first place, we could have made a deeper run. Sixers have to really look at their roster up and down to find out what parts go around Maxie and Embiid.
All right, we have about 20 seconds.
Yep.
He's America's analyst, which means he has to analyze something. Your glasses, you wear very low.
Yeah, we're very low.
Yeah.
On the tip of my nose because I only need him to see my phone. But if I put them all the way up and I'm walking around the hallways, I'm running into people. So it's blurry. So bifocals are the answer, and I just won't do it because it sounds like you're Benjamin Franklin. I'm not going to do that. I don't care. I don't care what cures. I don't care if it improves the quality of my life exponentially. I am not going to do that. So instead, I walk around with my glasses on the tip of my nose, and my wife teases me all day long.
America's analyst, Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.